Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
All right, good morning, Buckhead. Rich Casanova over here, your talk show host for this morning's edition of Buckhead Business Radio X. Beautiful day in the city once again, and you can't get much better than in Atlanta and in Buckhead. And we have a fully crowded, packed, standing room only studio this morning. We have some phenomenal guests joining us this morning. We're going to have a segment on the Small Business Administration. And if you don't know, it's actually this week is National Small Business Week. So, and what a great celebration. What a great idea. We're going to learn a little bit more about that from some folks in the studio, as well as some award winners locally here in Georgia, in the Georgia market. And also we have Pete Canalicchio joining us, talking about entrepreneur licensing. We'll be on the show here this morning. And also Barry Flink with Flex HR. We're going to learn about their businesses and some interesting conversation amongst all of our guests here this morning. So first up, we have a former banker and strategist, Cassius Butts, was appointed by President Barack Obama in 2011. You're responsible for delivering the SBA programs in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Guam, or no?
No, not Guam.
not Guam, yeah. Eight states is plenty, right? Yeah.
That's enough.
Right. So during your appointment, you've managed an oversight of two record-breaking years. I was reading this last night. Wow. For the SBA lending in Region 4,
yep.
Nearly $8 billion in SBA-backed loans to small businesses with the aforementioned eight states. Wow.
Yeah.
So $1 billion per state? It didn't quite figure out that way, or no, yeah?
Nah, didn't figure out that way, but doing some good things here in Georgia.
Oh, yeah. And over what period of time is that $8 billion?
Actually, for the last 2 years.
Oh, just in the last 2 years?
Just in the last 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and we bagged about $1.6 billion here in the state of Georgia this last fiscal year.
That's phenomenal. I mean, that's impressive. You hear a lot about the SBA, but it's interesting to have y'all in the studio this morning, and also kind of the insider news. And I mean, how cool is this? National Small Business Week, right?
It is the coolest. The best part about it is you have an opportunity to recognize folks who've really kind of done a lot of great things, you know, to add value and add jobs to the economy. But it's without the help of our resource partners, the folks at our Georgia district office,
right.
Which is really, you know, why we're here today. David Perry is here today. He's the deputy district director of the SBA district office.
Yeah, so David, welcome to the show. Yeah.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Yeah, so you're going to be telling us about some folks here in the studio a little bit later as well, right?
Absolutely. In fact, we celebrated Small Business Week in Georgia 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Governor Deal issued a proclamation making the week of April 28th Small Business Week in Georgia so that we could celebrate our winners in advance of the national celebration. So.
Yeah, the Southerners, we like to get a jump start on things, whatever. Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
So, Cassius, tell us a little bit about your role with the SBA.
Sure. My role as regional administrator for the eight states and nine district offices is really to provide access to capital, contracting, and counseling opportunities. I was appointed about almost 4 years ago by President Obama, but my biggest thing is to have the opportunity to provide people to, you know, be in a position to start and grow their own business, to become an entrepreneur. And we have our resource partners that we work with as well. The best part about it is that, you know, when you figure you have an idea, we're the place that you can come to talk about starting and growing your own business. Our small business development centers, our resource partners are huge. We have Drew here who's going to talk a little bit about how it is to become an entrepreneur and to work with a mentor. So, we look at it not at from left or right or red to blue. We look at one color, and that's access to capital.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah.
Green.
That's right. That's right.
that's the new color, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I think, what if you put those two together, do you end up with green? We have an interior designer who will help us with the colors a little bit later.
Steven's great at it. He's one of our winners.
Nice. So National Small Business Week, as I understand it, this has been around for quite some time before you and I, right? It goes back to Kennedy, the era of Kennedy? Right?
Goes back to the era of Kennedy. It started in 1963. President Kennedy wanted to be in a position to recognize a lot of folks who are really contributing to 98% of what this economy is ran off of, and that's small business.
Yeah.
And so ever since then, we have been in a position to recognize our folks locally and nationally. So this year, yesterday, I actually started off in San Francisco for National Small Business Week, and we're going to be moving forward to Kansas City, Boston, and New York, and the National Small Business Person of the Year is going to be announced at the end of the week in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
So we're really excited about it.
So is that trip paid for, or yes? Oh. They have to get up there on their
well, well, actually, you know, they do have to kind of support themselves of getting there. But, you know, the experience is phenomenal.
I was just giving you a hard time. Whatever.
Oh, that's okay.
So so people in Georgia, how would they go about, you know, celebrating what's coming up this week, I guess? Or is there some events going on throughout the week? Or David might be able to let us know about that.
Well, again, we celebrated Small Business Week a couple of weeks ago, but there are a number of ways people in Georgia can participate in the national events. We're going to be streaming all of the events online. There are going to be, you know, a number of educational type events as well as the awards presentation. So, you know, you can go to sba.gov/business. No, Small Business Week. Sorry. And again, stream these events from all over the country.
Yeah, there are going to be webinars as well. So there's a webinar kicked off this week. There's a webinar for growing your business, direct mail. A webinar today, actually for voluntary benefits for employees, 101. And this is going on all week. I mean, and this, the best part about it, there's no cost to it.
Oh, come on. Now. Yeah. Now you're.
There's no cost to it.
cost at all. Yeah. Not much better than you can do than that. Now, so tell us, we're going to interview a little bit more in depth, but just for our listeners, as we call a teaser in radio, right? Yeah. So, David, I guess, would you just introduce us to our guests we have here in the studio this morning?
Absolutely. First, we have Stephen Pereiro. Stephen is founder and owner of Pineapple House. It's an interior design company. And he actually used two SBA loans, SBA-backed loans, to grow his company.
That's correct.
And Drew Tonsmeyer, and Drew is the area director for the Georgia Small Business Development Center office at Kennesaw State. Stephen was the first runner-up for Georgia Small Business Person of the Year this year, and Drew was not only the Georgia but also the regional winner for the SBDC Area Office Award. So they're two of our 10 award winners.
Wow, wow. And so this idea, obviously SBA and National Small Business Week, but is this primarily all about small businesses, or
it's about small businesses, but it's also about the people who support small businesses. It's about job creation. It's, you know, it's about building the economy.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, small business is at the core of all.
Okay.
The other part is that we like to recognize our lenders, because without them, their dreams could not come to fruition. So our lenders and our resource partners who are familiar with our products and features have played a vital role in making certain that having that access to capital. Again, that's one of the main things you need as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need access to capital and counseling opportunities to have a mentor, like Drew, to have folks that you can go back and say, hey, is this right? Is this in place? So we're very proud about that. So this is something just at the end of the day, you can go back and realize that you've got resource partners, you have access to capital, and you have someone who can kind of direct your path. And this is just not this week. This is going on after this week is over,
oh, yeah,
too.
Yeah. It's 52 weeks. Yeah.
There you go.
Every week is National Small Business
That's
Week.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, because that $8 billion doesn't appear out of nowhere or whatever, right? Yeah.
No. But, you know, we've seen these numbers grow. We're very proud of what we've done here in Region 4. I'm just fortunate to have 9 district directors who work very hard and do a great job. I happen to live in Atlanta, so I get to see the fruits and the benefits of this labor just come to pass. And Terry Dennison is the district director. She's not here today, but Terry and David as a team have led the Georgia district office, very proud of it. And we're looking for some more positive things to happen. The best part about it, we have to thank folks like you for allowing us to come to be in a position to let your listeners know about these opportunities, because without you, you know, a lot of folks wouldn't hear about it.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. A little plug for Business Radio X. Yeah, nice. Nicely done. We're a small business as well, right? Yeah.
You're
but
up.
Speaking of that, I got a couple of questions like for maybe our listeners, because I'm trying to wrap my head around like how many districts and you know, around the country that represent, but also the how do you define a small business? I've always wondered, like, we throw this term around, you know, like but you know, what are some of the parameters or you know, baseline, I guess, that distinguishes small from medium to large, whatever, extra large?
Well, in response to the first part of that, there are 68 district offices around the country. Many of the larger states like California, Texas, New York have multiple district offices. In Georgia, we're so good in Atlanta, we can cover the whole state without having to divide it.
Right? Nice.
And the second part of that is roughly 95% of all businesses in the country are technically small. But it depends on the type of business, industry by industry to make that determination. So some of it's based on sales, some of it's based on number of employees. But the majority of businesses, both in Georgia and around the country, are small.
Is it fair question to ask like a ballpark number of like employees? Is it? I heard somebody say 500. That seems like that's not a small business to me, right?
Well, for manufacturing, it is.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it goes back to that, yeah.
Right, but now you may have a one person operation or a two person operation, and they do consulting and have huge revenues. That's why we look at it differently for different types.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because actually here in Atlanta, especially in Buckhead, we have the Atlanta Tech Village, Georgia Tech. There's so many startups and tech companies that you go in and you look, this is the whole operation. There's three or four guys there, but they're doing millions and millions of dollars in business, more than the guy down the street, you know? Yeah.
You know, Rich, you bring up a good point. One of the folks who actually was involved with one of our initial events a couple years ago to get the, you know, young entrepreneurs involved was Michael Giovanni. Okay. Scout Mob did a great job. And he started out small business himself. Right. And as you know, began to grow. And he's now opened up an incubator, which is housing right here in Buckhead.
Yeah.
Housing a lot of folks to get involved into starting and realizing their own dreams. And so we're very proud of that. But you're right, to that point, it does start small, but it grows. But it grows and it stays within the economy.
Yeah.
And so when you go out and you see those cranes moving again,
right,
you see the stores, the construction stores, you see them going again. That means that jobs are being added to the economy. And we're very proud of them about that.
I saw something today where they're talking about it's great when you see a flock of cranes or whatever, and you're thinking the birds, but but building, you know, making progress and making things happen. Yeah.
That's true.
So the SBA, can you get down to some of the nitty gritty about us? You know, you talk about starting and growing a small business. So what are some of the key points or criteria in launching that business? And then, you know, we're going to talk about training here in a minute, but about growing the business. Yeah.
Well, some of the key parts is really just having a vision, having an idea. And when you have that, we have wonderful resource partners, our SCORE chapters, which they are now celebrating 50 years in existence. Retired executives who comes back and said, hey, I want to help folks to start and grow their own dreams, and they'll work with them. We have our small business development centers, like Drew, we're great to have here today. Or we have Women Business Center as well, Edge Connection, located right on that campus of Kennesaw. So you want to kind of go to those places, as well as the district offices, which is located downtown Peachtree Street and Peachtree Center. And that's where your starting place should be. We try to let people to get be in a position to become educated first,
right,
about
right, yeah,
the business alone and what does it take in your business plan before going out and getting a loan.
Yeah, first-time entrepreneurs will often say, you know, what I need is the money.
Right.
But what they really need is the technical advice.
Yeah.
If you no matter how much money you have, if you go into it unprepared, not being ready to manage, not understanding business, then you're going to be in trouble really quickly.
And help with like proof of concept or whatever, right? So that, you know, they may have a great idea. So let me, you know, send me some money, but let's see if it's viable. Let's, you know, I guess test it or do some beta testing, what have you. But, I don't want to focus on this 8 billion. That's impressive, pretty impressive number, but, in just the last 2 years primarily, but now this loan guarantee program, is there, when you put the word loan and guarantee together, I mean, there's got to be some, you know, parameters to that. Or I mean, how does that basically work? If, you know, if I was to come to you and say, you know, I'm looking at starting a business and want to learn about that loan guarantee program, what would you?
Well, just to take a step back, our two signature products that we have is our 7A loan and our 504 loan. 7A goes up to 5 million. And our 504 loans, particularly if you had a business idea and you wanted to purchase a building and have your business within that, we would rely on our 504 products. And so SBA does not directly give the loans to you.
Yeah, right, but yeah.
We insure the loans.
Sure.
And we insure up to a certain percentage based on some of the criteria.
Yeah, and we can guarantee up to 80% of a loan.
Okay.
The 7A loan, and people, we get caught up in our jargon sometimes, but the 7A loan is a multi-purpose business loan, kind of any general legitimate business purpose you can use a 7A loan for. And, you know, we guarantee up to 80% to enable the bank to make loans that they wouldn't make under their traditional lending criteria.
And that's up to $5
million. Up to $5
million. And what's the other one, the 50?
The 504?
504, yeah.
It's $5 million also, but you can go up to 5.5, I think, in certain circumstances.
I'll take the second one then, yeah. I'll take two, please, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and most newer businesses are not going to be looking at the 504. They're not going to be looking to purchase property. They're going to be looking for working capital. They're going to be looking for equipment, that kind of thing. So roughly 80% of the dollars we lend are through the 7(a) general purpose loan program.
Okay. And we definitely are going to be hearing from our guests, our award winners here. I hope that's the right term, or right? Is that
award winner?
Okay. Yeah. Some people get hung up. No, they're not award winners. They're spectacular doers and shakers and makers, whatever. Yeah. So we're going to hear from them in a minute. I want to hear from y'all about this process and what y'all went through in starting up your business as well. But talk to us, maybe kind of winding this, you know, y'all's segment before we get to our winners, about the training that you offer for small businesses.
Sure. We offer training opportunities in every district office, and David's going to talk a little bit more about that. But if you can think about it, access to capital, government contracting training, if you're a veteran, maybe you're looking to start and grow your business, we have specific training that will suit your needs. And you can look at it and look at what training opportunities exist on the website. If you go to sba.gov and go to the Georgia District Office, you will find the different training opportunities that exist. And we're fortunate because we have some really cool things going on now. We have a product. What I typically say when I give these speeches is that this is not your mother or father's SBA. You know, this is a place where we're vibrant. We have new ideas. Our CapLines product is a product where if you were in government, I mean, if you had in contracting and you were awarded a contract, you can now use that contract as an award letter. As means as collateral versus in the back olden days, you had to put up your home as collateral.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So our CapLines product is one of the things we're very proud of. And if you're looking for microloans, some folks may not need $5 million loans. Sure. They may need $100,000. Our microloans are available. If you're looking to take out a loan for up to $150,000 until September, there are zero fees that are taking place right now in the SBA. If you're a veteran, $300,000. Zero fees right now. And so we have some pretty good resource partners that we're very happy about. Barry Blank is actually the past chairman of the Edge Connection right here in Georgia. And he still serves on the executive committee board for them. And so I'm sure you're going to hear it and talk about that when we come up. And we're excited about it. Dave, you want to talk about some of the training also as well?
Yeah, and I also want to mention that Terry L. DeHuey, who is the executive director of the Edge Connection, was our Women in Business Champion this year. So she is an award winner as well. And they're, of course, the Women's Business Center at Kennesaw State. We have a rather robust training program in the district office itself, in addition to our resource partners. Every day of the week, either we or the SCORE Atlanta chapter are holding one or more workshops at 233 Peachtree Street. As Cassius mentioned, you can go to sba.gov/GA and a couple of things there. You can sign up for our releases, which gives you our class schedule, our newsletter, any updates on our programs, as well as a link to our training calendar. Cool. And we're gradually getting the Small Business Development Center training classes and the and SCORE classes on there as well. So be a one-stop shop.
We've talked about the district office here, but are there other offices around the state, or is this pretty much the hub of for Georgia? Or
For SBA,
yeah.
This is it. But
okay.
Drew will talk a little bit, I'm sure, about the SBDC. It has multiple locations around the state. And they are and our relationship with them is, it's multifaceted, I guess. But we provide 50% of the funding for the SBDC. University of Georgia matches that. So they're actually a University of Georgia entity, but funded and partially monitored by SBA.
Awesome. Yeah. Now, I know, Cassius, you got to head out to our other studio for a second round of interviews today, right?
Yeah.
So is there anything you want to impart or leave us with, other points? Or do we pretty much cover the most of it there? Yeah.
Well, we covered a lot of, but we're really excited about our winners that are coming up soon. We're very excited. We want to make sure that you connect with us at SBA. Connect with us through SBA Southeast on Twitter. And I also tweet at Cash's Butts. But we want to make certain that you're in a position to connect with the business community at any point in time. Some folks, Rich, they may have an idea like at 2 a.m.
Right.
So we're open 24/7 is what I say. Go to our website.
Okay.
You know, go to sba.gov and you can also download the SBA app. If you have a smartphone, you can download the SBA app. It will put you within a 25-mile radius of our Small Business Development Center, our resource partners, or our district office, and even our SCORE counselors. Robert Yancey is the new chair of the SCORE chapter here in Atlanta. He's very excited. He's been getting a lot of folks to be involved with that. And a lot of people are talking about now. Ed Baker and his shop over at the Business Chronicle, where we're happy that a lot of folks are talking about what's taking place with SBA. And so I have to commend them. A lot of those folks are really involved and Marie supported. We're very excited about what they're doing. And really, you, Rich, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. So
nice.
We really want to congratulate our winners because it's about them. This is Small Big Business Week. And we're really excited about what's taking place. And hopefully, Drew and Stephen, we're going to looking for some really good things for you to come up with this year. Because after Small Business Week, it starts all over again.
So they have to turn in the crown then at the end of the year then or whatever, right? Well, this is like, I mean, apps and websites. And so you're really not the mom and pop from yesteryear, right? You're like a SBA 2.0, right?
There you go.
There you go. So, well, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Thank you,
And we're going to have Dave take over right now and introduce our guest. And so thanks for joining us in the studio.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, so Dave, tell us, reintroduce our guest here for us and, let's, jump right into this here. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds great. First up, we have our first runner up Small Business Person of the Year, Stephen Pereiro, founder and owner of Pineapple House, an interior design firm.
What a cool name. I'm going to ask him a few questions about that, but yeah.
And Drew Tonsmeyer, who is area director for the Georgia Small Business Development Center at Kennesaw State, and they were selected as the state and regional SBDC of the year.
Go Owls, yeah. All right, gentlemen, welcome to the show, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Looking forward to some great conversation here. Let's start with the Pineapple House.
Okay.
Right. So, tell us, I'm taking a wild guess on that, right? With interior design and the symbol of wealth, right?
No,
yes or no?
No, it's a symbol of hospitality.
Oh, okay.
And,
I should have checked with Barry before I asked that. Yeah.
That's right.
That's correct.
And when we began the firm, or I began the firm back in 1981, traditionalism was sort of rampant in sort of the way of interior design. And actually, back then, Williamsburg was the main kind of decorating. Everything was traditional. Things have morphed now, just like the SBA. We're in 2.0 or 3.0, right. But back then it was traditional, and the pineapple was a symbol of Southern hospitality. Okay. So that's the way we started that's the name of the company.
Yeah, yeah. Well, awesome. And Drew, how long have you been at the KSU?
Well, I've been at KSU at the SBDC for 12 years, but I was also at our SBDC office in Rome, Georgia for 7 years. So I've been doing this for over 19 years.
Wow, you've been at it for
a long time.
Yeah, you could have had a 4 or 5 degrees by then or whatever, yeah, which I'm sure you have as well. So the SBDC, so what kind of services do y'all provide specifically to business owners?
Well, the SBDC is actually a nationwide program. So in Georgia, we have 16 centers. Nationwide, there's 950 centers, and every state has a kind of different flavor, different bend, depending upon who their partner is in this. So traditionally, this whole program began in Georgia, 1977.
Wow.
So a lot of programs around the country have replicated what we've done here in Georgia. And what we were trying to do is match up university services and expertise into the business sector. So it started in 1977, first office in Athens. Georgia State University became our next center that was in the, 1980. The Kennesaw State University, SBDC, we opened up in 1984. So this is actually our 30th anniversary this
year.
So it's been around a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Congratulations. So what kinds of continuing education do y'all offer for those business owners? Yeah?
Well, we kind of segment it in kind of two segments. Those that want to start, those that want to grow, because those are two different things.
Yeah.
You talk about, you know, what starting, it's very common of needing access to capital, needing some structure, needing to refine being the technician and getting your technical abilities as that entrepreneur out into the marketplace. Growing is different. It's all about replicating what you know as an SBO, as a CEO, either through people or processes. If you want to grow, you've got to replace yourself and learning how to replace yourself. Is that a person or is that a process?
Right. What about restart? Is there an option for I started, now I need a restart, right?
You know,
so that's where the coaching and the training or the resources come into play, I guess, right?
You know, you learn more from failure than success. Yeah. So that's not uncommon, and it's not uncommon for most entrepreneurs to have multiple shops and they start becoming serial entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Stephen about some of his challenges operating business. But speaking of failure, we had some guests in here a couple weeks ago they're creating an event at ATV. It was called FailCon, right? So, I mean, it's like, really? And but the whole event was what you're talking about, Drew, is like when you go through business, you learn more from your failures, right? Because sometimes you go to a seminar and all the person's talking about is how great and rosy and success that they had, and they never tell you about their challenges, right?
Well, and the businesses that really did well during the recession were ones that looked forward and adapted. And one of a great example of that is our second runner-up small business person of the year, John Anker of Anker Pack, a Columbus, Georgia company. And they were in the business of making specialty boxes for like superhero figurines, okay, that kind of thing. Right. Well, the orders dropped off for that, so they looked into it and decided, why not manufacture bobby pins? So they became the world's largest bobby pin manufacturer.
Really?
And currently they're doing that. They're making Sharpies. They're making they're recycling electric engines. They're a client of the SBDC at Columbus, as a matter of fact.
Wow. And, here in Georgia.
Right here in Georgia. And they've kept those jobs on shore. That's the big thing. They were headed out of the country, and they were able to keep them in the U.S., which is a great success story.
World's largest supplier of bobby pins. Yeah. Wow.
And I think failure might be a misnomer here, because we all suffer small failures as we go through the business cycles, and if we survive it, then we're considered that we haven't failed, but we've learned from the approaches and the things that we've done, just like what you're talking about, David, the bobby pins. I mean, many of us that went through this last recession and earlier ones, you know, you learn from when you're knocked down, and those are failures that you gain some insight from, and then you go on to morph your business into a different direction.
So, Stephen, what are some challenges you found in operating a small business?
Well, funding, as we're all, that's what we're sitting here talking about. And of course, it was wonderful that I was able to access capital. And this was early on in my business back in the 80s when I'll say this again, it was kind of the old mom right, and pop, the old your father's SBA.
81, I mean, that was almost pre-internet, right?
It was pre-internet. It was pre a lot of things. Yeah. I mean, but it was probably in the mid-80s. Yeah. It was in the mid-80s that I was able to access the first SBA loan. And it just gave me that access to funding that allowed me to go ahead and to develop and to move forward and to make the failures and to adapt to those.
So talking about failures, on the flip side of the coin, what are some of the rewards? Because I think there's this romance about starting a small business and all the excitement you get caught up. I don't know if it's just recent history, but it just seems like there's a lot more people jumping in to owning, you know, putting their own name on their business. And branding we're going to talk about here a little bit later, right? So, what's the upside? What are some of the rewards that you enjoy as a small business owner?
Well, as you say, I think there is a lot of romance to it. I've always said that one of the best things about having your own business or owning your own business is the satisfaction of being the boss, and one of the worst things about owning your own business is being the boss.
Or having to work for that guy.
Yeah, or having to work for that guy. So, you know, but the upsides are many, and financial success when it finally does come is, of course, one of those, but it takes a lot to get to that point in your career.
Yeah, absolutely. Drew, tell us about the SBA Regional Award, and maybe you, David, you can jump in on this, but the SBDC Excellence in Innovation?
Yeah, it's the equivalent of the Small Business of the Year, except it's for the SBDC is one of the service partners, so okay. It's recognizing one of those service centers within each state, then within each region. Then we also have a national SBDC that will be recognized in Washington this week.
And we were talking to Stephen about, I'll give the same question to you. What are some of the challenges faced by your clients? And how have you helped them, I guess, solve that?
Well, I think that's how most people come to us. It's not many people go to the doctor when they're well, and so not many people come to us when their business is well. There's usually some kind of pain, either trying to grow and figure out how do I grow that, or something's sick and how do I fix it? So a lot of our people come with a lot of projects involved. So it might be I'm trying to redo my website and really kind of get that traffic flowing back in. I'm coming up with a new organizational structure and I need to design job descriptions and compensation schedules. How do I do that? Or they're just trying to figure out, how do I just keep this thing going?
Right,
I tell people all the time, the easiest thing you will do is start a business. The hardest thing you will do is keep it open.
Right, yeah. It's like buying a boat or whatever,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
It's all exciting at the beginning, but yeah, it's who can stay in the long haul. And that's where it comes into play is like, if you talk about growing the business, a lot of times, you know, you probably experience this where business is going great, gangbusters, but they're kind of hit a brick wall and they're trying to, how do they crack the code to get to, you know, a global or to the next level or whatever, right?
Probably one of the things that changes as a small business matures is the metrics they need to watch. You know, a lot of times it's just you look at the top line, you're looking at your sales and things are great. But as your business gets more sophisticated, you're starting to pay a lot more attention to those bottom line efforts. What's your cost of goods? What's your employees? What is your just overhead? How is that doing? You start looking at these changes and then you start seeing changes that happen in the marketplace with Affordable Care Act, and how does that impact your business? You've got to start planning for those kinds of things.
And speaking of employees, we have an expert going to be joining us here in a few minutes in the studio with in the HR and the people business. Barry's going to talk to us about that. And so tell us, what are some, you know, keys, if you had to give, you know, two or three key indicators for running a successful business, what might some of those look like? Or
A plan. And it needs to be written. That's the thing. It's a plan. It's a written plan, and it's a realistic written plan.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not really how well you execute the plan. It's how well you adjust to the marketplace that's going on. That's why you need that feedback to kind of know what is really happening. Are my sales really going up? Is my profitability really going up? What is really going on? People, I'm one of the kind of internet marketing experts, and the first question I ask is, okay, what's your web traffic? And when you go, well, I don't know, it says, then how will you know if it's ever going to improve if you're not looking at the metric of what is your traffic flow?
Right.
So the metrics are a key part of running a business.
And there's we've been comparing like yesteryear to today, and there's so many resources for that today, technology, whatever, that'll help you really pinpoint that. So Stephen, talk to us about the Pineapple House. You know, as most businesses, unless you're the world's largest producer of bobby pins, you know, right? But most people have other people doing offering similar products and services. So, I mean, what's a differential for y'all?
Well, to dovetail into what Drew was saying, one of the things that is a benefit to going through a downturn and recession is that you have to ask these questions. You can have your game plan and you can have your plan written out and you can do all those things, but until you're faced with real choices and to look at your bottom line and to look at all these metrics, you sometimes let these things slide. So I've always looked at those as benefits. And then what that does is it further morphs your business into a different direction. So in our case, we have I have learned how to to specialize in interior design, and I think that's what's important is that you look at the niche that you're best in. You look at what it is that how you can serve those people and identify that, and identify what their needs are. And if you can do that, and you can find the needs of your clients and then identify those and give them what they need, then you're going to have some success in your business.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to have you put the mentor hat on now, whatever, right? And talk to us about our listeners about, what would you change? Not if you'd had to do it over again, but just looking back since, 81, what would you change about your business model, if anything?
Well, I think I would have tried to understand my target market better. Again, not trying to be everything to everyone. You're faced with so many opportunities when you're in a business, and if you're successful, you focus in on those that you can serve the best. I also started my business on the outskirts of town, and I found quickly that if I moved into town, I had more resources. I had better talent. I had better access.
Wow.
We now are actually working all over the country and some work out of the country. And the fact that I'm so close to the Atlanta airport has really helped me. I can't imagine having to live in a city where I have to go and change a plane somewhere. I can get anywhere I need to be quickly. So just that something as obvious as being in the city and having all of the resources that a city brings is a phenomenal thing. That
what are some projects or things you've done overseas? You mentioned out of the country.
Well, I've done a lot of work in Canada.
Okay.
My clients,
it's not really overseas, but I guess
Bermuda, yeah. As well as in the Caribbean.
Wow.
So it has been in the seas,
instead
of overseas.
Right, yeah.
But internationally is what I should have said. But a lot of work in Canada, and as my clients have matured and moved around, they have taken me with them to these different places. So if you provide a real service to someone, then they're going to make sure that they call you back when it's time to have that service provided again.
Sure. So kind of encapsulating this here, if you will, what are some trends you see emerging projects in the future coming up here?
I think it's sort of what we're all talking about here, and it's specialization. You know, things are attorneys are specialized, doctors are specialized. Now we have so much specialization, even in communication with web radio and television and magazines, and in my field, it's the same thing. You know, I specialize in high-end residential interior design. And I think if you can identify your market and go for that, that's going to be your key to success.
So how do you maintain being relevant in today's marketplace?
By providing the customer with more than they need. A client of mine says, "You've always exceeded my expectations," and I think that's what we strive to do. We strive to go in there and to understand what needs to be done, and clients really hire me to think for them. They come to me and they don't exactly know where it is or what it is they're trying to do. So I'm hired more for my intellectual abilities in order to figure out what it is that they want and need, and then I provide all of that in a very concise package so that they can they don't have to do anything but pay for it.
So I guess some of these, that's their only responsibility.
That's their only responsibility.
And they better do a good job at that, right?
That's right. That's exactly
so right. So I guess it's not what's old is new again, but there's some of those business principles that are just universal and are timeless, right? I mean,
that's
if you
true.
Provide a great product and a great service, I mean, whereas in today's kind of quick have it now kind of environment, I think, a lot of people are accepting kind of shoddy work or whatever. They just, they just deal with it,
But
so when a person comes along and it's exceptional and, they back up their brand with what they're talking about on their website and everything else, you'll have more business than you can possibly handle, right?
And it's still quick have it now. I mean, people want it now and they want it quickly. So you have to figure out how you do that and give
it
to, that's the challenge, how you do that and give it to them with the quality that they're going to want. They're going to want you to do it quickly and take the shortcuts. But then if it's not all there, they're going to complain about it. So you can't let that happen.
Well, we really appreciate you being here with us on the show this morning. And tell our listeners what's the best way to get back in touch with you and reach you.
You can contact my website. You can see our work on our website at www.pineapplehouse.com, or you can contact us directly at info@pineapplehouse.com.
Excellent. Well, thanks again for being here. We appreciate that insight. And we're going to kind of wind up our SBA special segment here back with Drew. To take us, wrap it up here. So I'm going to ask a Barbara Walters question or whatever, right? Always wanted to ask this on the air. So what's the biggest misconception about the SBDC?
For Georgia, I think a lot of people think they hear SBDC or think it's new business. Actually, we don't work with that many new businesses.
Okay.
We work more with an existing business. Our typical client has been in business for over 3 years, over $1 million in sales and looking to grow. So we still work with startup businesses, but we actually primarily work with those that are positioned for growth. That's one thing.
Yeah, that's something I wouldn't thought of. Yeah.
And I think most people are surprised when they find out our services are free. And so they're going, well, if it's free, you can't be.
Yeah, what's just, the catch? Yeah.
Yeah. And we actually have a hard time kind of convincing folks that it's legitimate. But there's, you know, there's different resource partners. We talk about SCORE,
sure.
And that is a volunteer group that has a lot of expertise that brings a lot of good to a lot of small businesses. Talked about the Edge Connection, which is also our Women Business Center. And it's also working with folks that are on limited or fixed income, trying to introduce entrepreneurship as a lifestyle for those. Then you have the SBDC, which is working with those that are probably between 3 and 30 employees looking to kind of grow. It's just that the SBDC, we're based in a university, so there are things that we can do in a university that other resource partners may not have access to. Like at Kennesaw State, I've got 26,000 students, soon to be 32,000 students. There's a lot of expertise that's in there. I've got a faculty within our Coles College. We subscribe to databases that can tell you, well, what is the interior design expenditures in Metro Atlanta in last year? We could tell you what that number
wow.
is. So there are lots of different resources that have fit different kinds of businesses. We have over 250,000 businesses in Metro Atlanta alone.
Really?
So it's not, there's only one resource to turn to. There are multiple resources. And the SBA could be that guide. If you want to know where to start, start there at the SBA. They kind of have that directional signs that can fan you out to all of these different resource partners.
So almost 250,000, not just in Georgia, but I mean just in
Metro Atlanta.
So I noticed about this national conference. So tell us about your work on that.
I kind of have two lives. I service the Northwest Georgia district, Cobb and Cherokee counties. But also I'm on a national level with our National Small Business Development Center, our annual conference. There's mentioned 950 offices. There's over 6,000 people that work for an SBDC. And every year we provide advanced training that's a week long of helping them get better so they can help those small businesses get better. So I'm on the committee that's in charge of that conference, putting together the workshops, all of the logistics behind that. So I pay a lot of money so I can go volunteer at a conference.
Nice. And when does that one take place?
That's going to be this September in Dallas this year.
Okay.
We
move
it around.
Not Dallas, Georgia.
Not Dallas, Georgia.
The Dallas. The other Dallas.
The other Dallas. Big D.
Say the other Dallas, yeah. Well, thanks so much for being here. Tell our listeners what's the best way to get in touch with you. Yeah.
Mentioned about the SBA.gov. So you can go to SBA.gov or you can check out if you're outside of Georgia, you can check with our national association, which is asbdc-us.org. If you're here in Georgia, you can contact us through the Georgia SBDC website, which is georgiasbdc.org. And if you're looking for me at Kennesaw State, just look for sbdc.kennesaw.edu.
Nice. Excellent. Well, thanks so much for being here. And David, with some closing thoughts.
First of all, I want to – Drew wouldn't brag on them quite the way I will, but we are fortunate in this state to have one of the strongest SBDC networks in the country. And Drew really is the best of the best. And this state is very fortunate to have that resource. And to the awards, we this year, I mentioned earlier, gave 10 awards out, including a small business media advocate, Rich.
Oh, nice.
So, think about that for next year.
Exactly. Yeah. We're just a few weeks old here, but yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't want to dethrone him yet.
Right. Exactly.
But,
yeah.
but we start posting information on next year's awards in the September, October timeframe at sba.gov/GA. There are specific forms that have to be completed. We're looking for specific information. And we have a holistic approach to selecting these winners. It's not just their success in business or just their contributions, but it's their contributions to the community as well.
So I can't just like slide you some money right now, whatever. It doesn't really work that way.
We stopped that a couple of years ago.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess it would be a little presumptuous to ask, can I get a loan, some funding to slide you some money? Yeah, no. So I'm always trying to get our guest in trouble somehow, but you did an excellent job of avoiding any litigation or whatever. Yeah.
Years of practice. Yeah.
Right. Nice, nice. Yeah. David, it's a pleasure being here.
Thank you. Nice being here.
Thanks for being here and your guest as well. Hope you'll hang out for our other guest here as well. And we have two other gentlemen in the studio joining us this morning, and they represent small business in today's economy as well. And Pete Caniglio.
Is that close?
Caniglio. I should have just stayed with Pete. Yeah, I was going to So tell us a little bit about yourself. And you're in the entrepreneur licensing business and branding. And so how did you come about to get into that business?
Well, I cut my teeth learning brand licensing when I was at the Coca-Cola company and kind of fell into it. I had been in finance and in treasury and then moved over into a group called business affairs, which was around sponsorship negotiation. And that was in 1996. And there were the Olympics were going on, and the head of worldwide licensing at the time was doing a program around Coca-Cola Olympic merchandise at the world, at Coca-Cola Olympic City, which was a 100-day Olympic theme park.
Right.
And from there, I got asked through the work that we were doing together to head up a group called Event Merchandising, which was Coca-Cola's way of creating co-branded licensed merchandise. So that's where I cut my teeth, and I've been working ever since.
Started right at the top, man. Whatever. Yeah. Nice. It's all about timing, right? With the Olympics, and we're in the beverage capital of the world. So, yeah, perfect. So, I heard that, you just recently, that Entrepreneur Media just recently became one of your clients. The Entrepreneur Media. And what exactly are you doing for them?
That's right. Entrepreneur Magazine, owned by Entrepreneur Media, asked us last summer to help them think about their brand and whether they could extend their brand via licensing. And so we conducted a brand licensing audit for them, which was basically to say, what are all the categories that potentially the brand extend into? And then what we did was a filtering process to take those categories and qualify them. So things like, you know, does the brand have a competitive advantage in this category? Is the category one that would support the brand's position and support the brand's equities? And then finally, like, will the brand be hurt if we extend in this category, or will the parent brand actually hurt the extension? So you go through all this filtering and you come up with a set of qualified categories. We looked at the size of those categories, the compounded annual growth of those categories, and we said, look, if you can get a small percentage of the market share in those categories, you can do significantly well. So we're looking at helping entrepreneur launch their brand licensing program. They will be doing that in Las Vegas next month.
Nice, nice. And so, yeah, that is a challenge. You don't think about that just offhand. You go, more is better, right? And bigger is better. But you kind of, so it's a question of like, are you diluting the brand possibly, right?
Absolutely. There's so many, and unfortunately, we're trying to raise the bar a little bit in this industry, but there's so many times where a brand will extend itself into a category via licensing or another way, and that actually may be hurting the brand because it's confusing the consumer. Right. It doesn't support the brand's promise and brand's position.
And their culture or whatever. It doesn't align with their culture or whatever. But I guess, but then you have Richard Branson. I think he breaks all those rules or whatever, right? He's in every business. He throws his name on anything, right? Like Trump. So those are probably the exceptions. I don't know if you'd go about coaching them, but.
I would say Richard Branson.
A good job or a bad job?
Well, I think in his case, it's a good job. His a little bit of an irreverence, and it's about superior quality, in delivery, whether it's a product or a service. So you can find, in any product that Richard Branson's extended his brand, those commonalities, and that's his brand promise, and you're seeing them, whether it's in, music or within airlines or any of the other businesses he's gotten himself into.
Yeah, he's kind of like, is that maverick kind of, and that people kind of drawn to that adventure kind of, idea, I guess. But now, in launching a program, what's all entailed in that for, entrepreneurs or?
Well, what we've told Entrepreneur Magazine, Entrepreneur Media is it's very important, to put your best foot forward and really let the world know that your brand is serious about extending via licensing. So they did the hard work early determining what categories they could extend into. And just quickly what those are is we said anything around business tools and systems could be branded entrepreneur and could really strengthen or support those businesses. The other ones around travel accessories and mobile devices, anything mobile that can help a business person be more efficient. Us around the table are all entrepreneurs. If I can do more business around, in my office, in my person, in my car, then that's going to be helpful. The third one was around business centers. So let's think about like a hotel chain where they have an entrepreneur branded business center. And the final one was lifestyle. So, maybe it's you want a spouse to be like a Richard Branson. So maybe you're wearing an entrepreneur set of sunglasses, or maybe a BMW entrepreneur edition. That's all suited towards helping an entrepreneur be more successful. So we told them, look, put your best foot forward. let's have a presence at the Licensing Expo in Las Vegas, which is in June 17th through the 19th, and let the world know that you're serious about this. And so we will be having a booth there. Location is B51. And
nice.
Yeah.
Coincidence and, or planning, whatever. Yeah. Better than Area 51, I guess. And yeah.
Exactly. And so they will be what they'll be doing is we're really showing the world, you know, how can the brand extend itself? What does it visually look like to have the entrepreneur brand on these categories of merchandise?
I got to start thinking about when you said about Richard, I thought you were going to say Rich Casanova brand, but yeah, I got carried away. I got my, yeah, carried away.
That's
yeah,
next
but it's
year after you yeah. win the award.
Nice,
for,
nice. Exactly. Yeah. For the SBA. Yeah.
SBA.
And so tell our listeners, how would they get involved in entrepreneur licensing, you know, or,
Well, the easiest way is to send an email to licensingandentrepreneur.com. That will go to Charles Muselli at Entrepreneur Media. He is the head of business development, and it'll also go to me. So very simple, licensingandentrepreneur.com. Nice. And, you know, I've listed four categories, but if you think you have a product or a service out there that would benefit from having the entrepreneur brand with it, then I want to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. And because he's in California, right?
He is. He's in Irvine, California.
We talked about maybe having him call in on the show, whatever. Yeah, it's a little early for out there, whatever.
He
yeah.
took a pass, but he yeah. said he would maybe be welcome time, to the yeah, next yeah. one if well, it's at 2 p.m.
Yeah, we're working on a 2 o'clock show. And maybe yeah, we'll do an after-hours radio just for your buddy or whatever. Yeah.
That would be terrific.
Yeah, yeah. So any final thoughts on, you know, well, in Vegas, I guess who would you be, who's your audience there, you know, in Vegas at a trade show? And how are you going about reaching them, or what's the scale and scope of that? I've never heard of this.
The show is the largest in the world. It's held annually in Las Vegas. It's been in Las Vegas for about the last 7 years. It used to be at the Javits Center in New York City. There's also licensing expos throughout the world. In London, there's Brand Licensing Europe, in Hong Kong, Milan, a lot of cities, throughout the world. But this is the largest one. And, so, there's a tremendous number of exhibitors,
right.
but there's probably four or five times that many number of attendees
sure.
who are typically licensees, companies who are looking to license brands. And so we're hoping that, you know, through, the website licensingexpo.com and, through licensing.org, which is the licensing, International Licensing and Media Merchandisers Association, those folks will find us and we'll be able to start a conversation. But sure. Business Radio X is another way to do that, and we appreciate the time this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the plug there, Pete. Yeah. Well, thanks for being here again this morning. Really appreciate it, and hope you'll stick around here, and maybe we'll throw in a couple other hardball questions at you. But yeah, so thanks again.
Thank
and,
you.
Yeah, absolutely. And our anchor man here this morning, Barry Flink, is joining us. Has been sitting patiently, hanging out. Just I've been noticing you passing notes and having a little sidebar conversation with the people. So some obviously some chords have been struck there with you. So Flex HR, tell us a little bit about that. How did you come about creating that business, sir?
Certainly, be happy to do so. And good morning, everyone. Yeah. Flex HR is a management consulting company, and it deals specifically with the management of human capital. Fancy title, we're basically an HR consulting firm. We do back of the house and front of the house HR, and I'll explain what we mean by that. Back of the house is the stuff nobody wants to do, the paperwork, et cetera, et cetera. We have a proprietary product called Employee Universe, which is a complete HRIS that stands for Human Resource Information System. It does everything in terms of record keeping, payroll, et cetera, et cetera. Front of the house is management consulting, and Drew kind of stole a lot of my thunder. Several of the comments he made accurately reflect what we do. We help our clients with questions they don't even know they should be asking.
Wow.
Typically, our clients don't know what they don't know.
Yeah. It's like, you go to... Well, like you go to a cell phone store, you don't have a clue what all the different apps and what the possibilities are. But now speaking of size of businesses, who's a good fit for your business, or what's the kind of wheelhouse you're in there?
Certainly, the name Flex says it all. We can take care of large and small, but our sweet spot are really small, medium-sized businesses that may have as few as 10 employees, maybe as many as 250. Once you go over that particular number, you should have a full-time on-site HR manager or director.
Yeah, in-house.
Those that don't need more than us. They need their heads right, examined.
Right. Nice. So in terms of geography, obviously we're here at Buckhead in Atlanta. Where does the scope begin and end for y'all?
Well, again, our sweet spot is metropolitan Atlanta, or I guess I should say the state of Georgia. But we have clients in New Jersey, clients in New York, California, Arizona, Wisconsin. One client we had in Victoria, Canada for a short while. So we could use the word loosely international, right. But we don't. We think that's overused in the marketplace. Anybody that wants to look big is blank international. We don't do that.
Oh, yeah. So, and how long have you been in business with this?
This is our 14th year. Wow. We started in the year 2000.
Okay. Nice. And now you were in the Inc. 5000?
We've been listed in the Inc. 5000 for 3 out of the last 5 years and are obviously very proud of that fact. That represents successful, fast-growing small businesses. We are, as far as we know, the only HR management consulting firm east of the Mississippi River that has ever been listed in the Inc. 5000.
Wow, east of the Mississippi.
Somebody out west got listed.
Okay, yeah. that gives us some parameters, but I mean, paint a picture. How large is this, you know, is your business?
Are you my entity?
Yeah.
Certainly. We have about 25 employees. Our annual sales are just above $5 million now.
Wow.
We are bricks and mortar. We have a 6,000 square foot corporate office.
Jeez. Where is that located?
And it's located in beautiful Johns Creek.
Okay, nice.
And if you don't know where that is, just stay tuned because another city will incorporate sooner or later.
Right.
And then you'll be able to navigate from the next newest city.
Use that
but it's actually the Duluth area.
Yeah. And you mentioned clients in Wisconsin and beyond here in Atlanta, but how many, what's your, you know, book of business or a number
sure.
of clients usually?
We have at the current time over 150 clients.
Wow. That's and most, but probably 90% of them?
Yeah, about 90% of them are in the state of Georgia.
Okay, and I probably should have asked this at the top of the interview, but what's your position there?
I am co-founder, I'm executive vice president and partner is my official title. My partner, Jim Suchansky, started the business, and 2 weeks after he started, we became partners because I was starting exactly the same type consulting firm. We ran into each other and said, why should we compete? Let's be partners.
Wow. That's an interesting twist on things, whatever. Yeah. Usually people just go head to head and last man standing, whatever, right?
No, we figured it was better to combine, and the sum is greater than the parts, as they say, and that's proven to be the case. It's a 14-year business marriage with no threats of divorce. We've gotten along beautifully for 14 years.
I've known you from the BBA, and I always thought you were a smart man, but now I know it, right?
Thank you.
So we'll have to have you back because I know you got your hands in a few other businesses besides this, right?
Yes,
I do. Give us a little teaser on a couple of those.
I'm going to mention, too, because they're seated at the table, I'm very active in the Coles Business College. I am one of the executives in residence. I teach at KSU.
Okay.
I'm also very involved with the Edge Connection, which was mentioned earlier in this program. Okay. I'm the past board chair of the Edge Connection. Other businesses that I have include a hotel management company, Sovereign Hotel Management Company, Atlanta Calls Marketing, which is a specialty PR firm, 200 Peachtree, which is a meeting and convention facility in downtown Atlanta. It's in the old Macy's building, and I'd love to come back and talk about that.
Yeah.
The more people want to know about it.
Now, I've been there. That's an impressive. I went there. They had a Global Connect event, and it was pretty phenomenal. It had, 38 international chambers of commerce and
right.
an impressive facility. And, yeah, it was a great time. So we are just about out of time, folks. Thank you all for being here this morning. I don't know if you have any closing thoughts or jokes or insights or sign-offs, but I think we're good. We appreciate y'all being here, and I look forward to seeing y'all back on the show sometime soon, as well as enjoying the replay. Rich Casanova once again for Buckhead Business Radio X. We'll see you next Tuesday. Same place, same channel.